Good morning, church. It's wonderful to see you all this morning. Actually, I can't see many of you, but I assume you're there on the other side of the screen. Welcome, church family. Whether you're at home, out on the trails, sipping coffee, it's great to be worshiping with you all. I hope you had a great Mid-Autumn Festival these last several days. I love mooncakes, and so I'm in a bit of recovery mode from mooncakes. Whether it's traditional or the new styles of mooncakes, I found that I actually love them all. So this is a favorite season for me for many reasons, but it's great to be with you all today, worshiping together. Today we start a new series, Making All Things New, and this is God's heart for this world and for this community. Making all things new. It's a very hopeful message over these next October and November, but also a very probing message as well. To make all things new means we need to go to those deep places. We have to actually look under the surface of our lives to explore the things that God wants to make new. And that's what we're going to do during these next 2 months, is explore our holistic selves, all of who we are in terms of our created in the image of God. God wants to renew all of that. When I was in high school, my youth pastor showed me a chart much like this one. And so this is not something new. It's something that has been around for a while. But what this chart shows is kind of each part of our lives. And as Christians, we might focus on that spiritual part of our lives, but actually God cares about the whole thing. Whether it's our emotional lives, our relational lives, our physical lives, he wants to renew all of it and to make all things new. And so during these next 2 months, I want to invite you on that journey of looking underneath the surface, of exploring the different ways that God wants to make things new, whether it's in our city, whether it's in our identity and culture, whether it's in our politics, whether it's in our family of origin and some of the things we've grown up around. I want to invite you into this depth and into this time of journeying into these deep places. One of the quotes from Emotional Healthy Spirituality is this one: emotional health and spiritual maturity are inseparable. It's not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. Our spiritual maturity is connected to our emotional maturity. Our emotional maturity, if you will, is a limiter on our spiritual growth. I have people all the time that, how do I grow more spiritually? And there's ways to go about that. But one of the ways we might overlook is actually our emotional lives. And what does this look like to go to this place? And so this will actually be our life group curriculum over the coming months, Emotional Healthy Spirituality. And some of your groups I know have already just begun this. I've been able to sit in on a couple of those. And there's 8 sessions on how do we do this. This comes out of a church from New York. I've had it recommended to me several times over the years, and this seems like the right season to take this plunge. And so it's a great time to join a life group right now. We saw the wonderful video from Manna with the kids. We've got 14 different groups, some with kids, some without, some during the day, some in the evening. You can look at our different life groups on the website. You can contact Pastor Brenda or the office to learn more about our groups. But this is a wonderful time to do this journey of depth with somebody else in a context of a supportive community. So I invite you to that. Last week, we finished our With God series. This idea that our relationship with God needs to be in the center of our lives. And we talked about kind of this idea last week in particular about our public image and our hidden image, this image that we project to the world, and then actually what's inside of us that God cares about, this inside part that isn't on display, but that will leak out, whether good or bad, out into the world. And so that's really where I want to start today, is this insideness, this heart, because under pressure especially, and this has been a season of pressure with COVID and other things, that what's in there begins to leak out to others. And Jesus cares about what's on the inside. He cares about our heart. And so this is what our passage will be talking about today in Mark 7, 14 to 23. It'll be on your screen there. And let me read it for us. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And this is part of what he's saying in this passage, is he's giving them context for some of the purity laws. But he went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Church family, God cares about our heart. He cares about what is inside, because that is actually what eventually comes out to the world. Despite the facade we might put on, despite the public image we want to present, God cares about what's on the inside. And this is the very issue he was confronting in his day with those who were religious leaders. He reminds them of the importance of the heart. And we see this throughout scripture. We see this in 1 Samuel 16:7. "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." What is the condition of your heart this morning? I pray that it's a place where we can begin to look at it, that we can let God look at it, that we can invite this looking under the surface. Let me pray. God, I just echo the prayers earlier, God, and I invite you into this time. I invite you into this place. I invite, God, our church family to be on a journey together with you, that you would, in fact, be making all things new, and that we would want that. We would want to go to those places of newness, of transformation, God, that we would know your love and your grace, and we would see that invitation to go there, God. So may you work this morning, I pray. Amen. Just quickly, so many passages about looking at the heart. And Matthew, we see, and knowing their thoughts. This is Jesus. He always knew what was underneath the surface. But Jesus perceived their malice. He knew what they were thinking. He knew their thoughts. But God knows your heart. And in Acts, and God who knows the heart. See, what's on the inside of us will always find a way to leak out. It'll always find a way to emerge. We can only cover it and present a certain image for so long before it begins to break down. See, Jesus actually knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the depths of your heart. He knows the challenges that you're walking through. He knows the sin that maybe you're going after. He knows it before you do, and yet he invites you into relationship. He says, "Before you even knew me, I knew you, and I love you." And so this is a wonderful invitation as we look below the surface. The image of an iceberg is one that we see, you know, on the front of the life group curriculum. And it serves as an image to realize that most of the iceberg is underneath the surface. Only the top part is kind of presented to the world. And it's a metaphor for our lives that we, you know, as icebergs have many layers to us and many layers down below the surface that we need to look at. Under the hood, if you will. So what is stirring in your heart this morning? What makes you angry? What makes you happy? What brings joy? Where are you disappointed? Some of us may be better than identifying our feelings in others. I remember Erica and I, when, you know, Cody and Maya were young, we'd have a feelings chart, and you could, it was on the fridge, and you could put a little, you know, magnetic sticker to allow them many different words to share their emotions. And little kids can often express their emotions pretty freely. But maybe as we age, we begin to cover some of that up and begin to become disconnected from what's going on in our heart. But it's important to look under the surface. Now, when Erica and I were newly married, we were, you know, driving along and there were some problems with the car. And I remember this time where I need to open up the hood of the car and look underneath it. Now, I wanted Erica to think that I knew a lot about cars. I could change the oil on her car and change a tire, but that was really about it. I'd kept up a bit of a facade, you know, trying to have her think I was somewhat mechanically minded. And the reality was, is I had no idea what I was going to find when I opened up the hood of the car. There could have been a problem screaming at me, and I could have said, I don't know what's going on, right? There's something going on here. The car's not running right. But I opened up the hood anyway because I had to sort of project this image of knowing what I was doing, right? And that's just one way, I think, that we want to make it seem like we know what's going on. But actually, when we open up that hood of the car, we might not know what's going on in there. We just don't like the outcome. We don't like how it's exhibiting in our behaviors or in our relationships, but we know something is wrong. And that's an indicator to invite people in, to invite God in, to get help, to have the courage to look under the surface, right? It can be scary to explore our inner world. We don't know what we're going to find. When I was younger, I would lead camping trips into the mountains and in the Sierra Nevadas, and we would love to jump off cliffs. But the important thing to know before you jump off the cliff is to know what's under the surface of the water. There could be things you didn't see there that would be big stones and boulders. And so you'd have to explore under the surface before you would know what is there. And we are invited to explore that surface. God wants to go on that journey with us to explore what is underneath. It does take courage to go to those places. But if we don't go to those places, we can pretend to cover up. We can pretend that everything is okay. We can actually pretend before God. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "We must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us." If you've been a believer for a long time, you know how we ought to be, and we can present that to God. But actually, God just says, bring what's there. Bring where you are. I already know it. Be real with me. Bring that to me. But it can take courage. We see this all the way back to Adam and Eve when they stumbled into sin, right? And what is their first response? It's not to go to God and say, "We're sorry, we messed up." It's to hide, right? They feel the shame. So they hide in their shame, and we do the same, right? Because it can be painful to own up to those realities. But the reality is that God wants to free us from those things. He wants truth to liberate us. He wants us to have those shackles fall off. So we need to be able to step into those moments and know that God would rather walk with us and free us than to shame us. I don't know how many of you read C.S. Lewis growing up as kids. I read all of the Chronicles of Narnia and The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Maybe you've seen the movie of this as well. This is an image from the movie. And there's a character, Eustace, who is just annoying. He's selfish. He's self-centered. And he's difficult to get along with. And eventually, his outer appearance reflects what's in his heart. And he turns into a dragon. And that's what's in this image here. And Eustace doesn't want this exterior on him, these hard scales. And he actually wants to try to remove it, and he tries to tear them off himself. He wants to be free of what is encumbering him, but he can't do it on his own. He has to invite Aslan, the lion there, this image of Jesus, to do the work for him, to layer by layer, to tear off that hard exterior, that the inner heart might change. And it does hurt a bit. It is a bit painful. And yet incredible freedom is experienced when he allows himself to be vulnerable, to be exposed, to be healed. And that's where Jesus wants to meet us. Now, emotional healthy spirituality comes out of the first book by Peter Scazzaro, Emotionally Healthy Church. And I picked this up about a year ago and began to walk through it. And they have an assessment in this book about how emotionally healthy you are. And there's an online assessment that Pastor Brenda and I can send you that you can take this assessment yourself. It's not in Emotional Healthy Spirituality. And it assesses you on many layers. Can you look below the surface, breaking the power of the past, living in brokenness and vulnerability, receiving the gift of limits, embracing grieving and loss, make incarnation your model for loving well, and slow down and lead with integrity? All of these are different areas of emotional development, and you can rate yourself on them. And you want to know what my lowest mark was? There's about 50 or so questions, and you rate yourself as, you know, sort of this I identify with or this I don't identify with at all. Mine was on the need of approval. I want and need approval from others, right? And it's something I have to be aware of as I serve as a pastor. And there were many other questions that were, you know, illuminating, not necessarily brand new things about my life, but it was a way to look under the hood and say, what's going on in there? And as a community, we can do this together. It's exposing, right? Exposing is dangerous. You open yourself up, but it's also incredibly freeing. So how can we look below the surface? I offer you three ways that we can do that, why we can do that. One is knowing that you are accepted by God. You are accepted by God. He already knows what's there, right? And he accepts you and he loves you and he meets you in that place. He's not looking to shame you, to condemn you, to judge you. He's there to invite you into a journey of freedom, of wholeness. We see the type of God he is in the prodigal son story, with the father going out and offering grace to both sons, undeserved grace. He offers it to them and he invites them into the party. He invites them to be in relationship with him. Don't we all long to be accepted just where we are? That's what Jesus does. He accepts us where we are. Warts and all, struggles and all. He's not waiting for some future version of yourself before he loves you. He loves you right now, right here, whatever it is you're walking with, struggling with, ashamed of. He welcomes you home. That's the type of God we have. As a community, we can display this as well. We don't pick and choose who we welcome into community. We extend God's grace, and we welcome you all. We know we have a God that meets us where we're at. We know we have a God that wants to walk with us in a journey of freedom, and we as a community want to come alongside you as well to be that extension of grace. We're a spiritual hospital, right? You want to be healed? You want to be redeemed. You want to be loved. We invite you to community church. Second, know that God has created you for flourishing. We were created good. We go back to the Genesis account and we see God's creation, and he invites Adam and Eve on this cultural mandate of extending God's grace to this world, of extending this idea of creating culture, of flourishing, of health, of hospitality, of welcome, of justice. God wants this flourishing for ourselves, right? He wants that. I can remember going through therapy several years ago, a number of sessions to work through stuff that was stirring inside of me. And in one of the sessions, the counselor said, you know, it's like you're in a glass-bottom boat and you're looking through the glass into the sea and you're seeing all the stuff that's there, but you're not willing to jump into it. And it kind of frustrated me, his comment. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm in the midst of this. I'm dealing with this. And yet it was an invitation to go deeper, right? To not be afraid of confronting those things and to owning things, whether they were from my past or patterns of relating in the present. But knowing that God accepted me, knowing that we are created for flourishing, gives us permission and courage to go to these places. And finally, the context of change is grace, is grace. We've done and we've put this quote up, you know, many times, I think, over the years from Philo of Alexandria. It says, be kind because everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You know your personal struggles, and maybe you think that everybody else has got everything together, but the reality is they don't. And we don't always know the battles that people are going through. God knows them. But it's an invitation to be gracious. It's an invitation to be kind because we are all walking through something right now. And as a community, we can show and we can assume that that's the case. And we can lead with grace with one another. We can lead with acceptance with one another. Because to go underneath the surface means you've got to feel safe to go there. You have to know God loves you in that place. In our life groups, as we go through this emotional, healthy spirituality, I want them to continue to grow into this idea of grace-filled community and accepting one another where they're at. And so we can begin to open up. We were doing this with the men's group yesterday, beginning, not that they aren't already sharing, but it was this invitation to go to these places, to get in touch with what you're feeling and walking through. Because the context of grace, the context of change is grace. This quote by Now, and I brought up in the Transforming Grace series, and it just rings true to me. Only in the context of grace can we face our sin. Only in the place of healing do we dare show our wounds. Only with the single-minded attention to Christ can we give up clinging feet to our fears and face our own true nature. We don't change in a context of condemnation and judgment. We change in a context of God's grace for us. And that's what he offers us. That's what he offers you, is this grace-filled community, of this grace-filled life. And I will continue to call us back as a community again and again and again to walk with grace with one another, to walk with grace that we've received from God, to walk with grace for ourselves. See, self-knowledge, as we go into this journey, as you look under the surface, you might uncover stuff that you've been trying to avoid. It's not an invitation for self-condemnation, but actually self-compassion, that you might be compassionate on yourselves as God is compassionate towards you. I don't know what you've walked through. I don't know what you're struggling with right now. But I know that we could probably all benefit from giving ourselves self-compassion instead of self-condemnation. That we could walk with grace with ourselves so that we could walk with grace with God and with others. This is my heart for our community, that we would do this, because God wants to transform us. He does want to make all things new. And it's a work that he desires for us. And it's a work that we can participate in. Before we go to communion, just a couple of reflection questions. And we'll post these on social media afterwards if you can't get them now, or if you want to do a screenshot of them. But there are questions that I invite you to reflect on this week because it allows us to go under the surface a bit. What is one of your greatest fears as you take a look at the iceberg in your life? What's a step you can take to look beneath that iceberg? And then why do we need a personal experience of God's unconditional love? Why does that help us to look underneath the surface? That we can go to these deep inside places. So reflect on those questions this week, because we're on a journey, church. We're on a journey of God transforming us. Let me pray before we enter a time of communion. God, I thank you that you, in fact, are with us right now this morning, that you are in this place, that you journey with us, God, and we can worship you, we can worship together, God, that we can know that you're already in that place of depth, that you're waiting for us, that you beckon us to come, God, that we can come to you. We can come to the place of worship, God, knowing your incredible love for us. Give us courage, God, to be graceful for ourselves and to others, I pray. Amen.